My first question would be, you organized, your group organized yesterday a debate, no basis, or shall we say a conference, which is quite radical for mainstream EU Parliament politics. And what are the reactions, let's say, from these bigger mainstream groups about such debates? I mean, do they attend this, or do they just say this is too utopistic or too radical?
I think there is a very interesting reaction. The reaction is that some know that we make this work against military bases, because it was not the first time that my office and my group and the intergroup Peace Initiative launched this question. Mm-hmm. But it was the first time that we have had an official conference as group GUE NGL with the clear message, no basis. And the funny thing is that I know that there is a support from some MEPs which are against special military bases. For example, yesterday in the hearing there was one Cyprian MEP from the Liberals who is against the British bases and is not against all bases. So it is a difference. I know that the focus, what we have had yesterday in the meeting, is not shared from the majority in the parliament. But nevertheless, it's necessary to do it here and to give a sign outside. And I told in the meeting in the morning, in the informal meeting, and also in the hearing from the GUE NGL, that we want to give something like support to have a EU-wide coordination against military bases. Mm-hmm. And I think it was successful. So some working groups are established, and it was also clear that it was a clear signal that there is a support from different MEPs, from our political group, GUE NGL, for this No Basis campaign. And now it's necessary to have it on the level, on the ground. Mm-hmm. For example, the fight in Vicenza, the fight in Rammstein, the fight in Ansbach, the fight in Leipzig, the fight in Rotta, and so on, and to coordinate this. Mm-hmm. And I think when it was possible that our group and me can give something like an initiative supporting this, it was good. So that is what is necessary that MEPs do.
Yes, just one thing more before maybe Matej asks. It's interesting, at least for me, that we don't hear much about the Russian basis on such debates. Why do you think that that's so?
I think it's in this case it was clear because it was about aggression and military bases inside European Union and from European Union.
Yes.
And so it's clear that this is not aggression, because in the moment I don't know if there is still a big Russian base in one of the EU member states, but I would not say it is not the case. So, but I know that, for example, in the international coordination, no basis, it was one speaker spoke about Russian military bases. And I also know that the former Russian military bases in the former GDR in the eastern part of Germany plays a role, mm-hmm. especially how to convert these military bases in a civil use and the environment problems and so on. So it plays a role, but the interesting is that I think also that we have a clear focus on these bases which are used for wars. And so it's clear that especially the bases of the United States are in the focus, but also more and more these of the EU member states, and in the next time from European Union. So I think these are the reasons.
Okay, you have Germany is one of those states that has quite a number of bases from the United States of America, and Is there anything, you've taken a tour around all these bases, and you've spoken to all these military personnel, etc. Maybe we could talk about this a little bit, but before that, is there something going on at the national German parliament and in German politics regarding these bases? Of course, the non-governmental organization and activists, there's a lot of this going on, but how about German politics or maybe in different federal states?
I think there are a lot of debates. On the level of international parliament, there is a debate that meanwhile all opposition parties say that U.S. nuclear weapons should be withdrawal of Germany. And especially the Social Democrats officially have this also in their program. So normally it should be the case that this I would say the top of the terrible bases, the bases with nuclear weapons, are discussed. But that's not enough. We also have a lot of debates about the military bases, base in Bombot, in Wittstock nearby Berlin. It's called Bombodrom, in which the German Bundeswehr want to have a field for exercises with bombs. And there's a big and very good opposition against, and we have always debates that this is a big threat to the people there, a lot of noise, a lot of environment problems, and so on. So some of these military bases are also discussed. And on the regional level, we have a very interesting debate, for example, in Rheinland-Pfalz. It's a region nearby to France, because they give a lot of money for the biggest military bases, Ramstein and Spangdalen, and they pay all the building costs. And this is unbelievable, because the United States Army use these military bases. But the German taxpayers pay it. And so we pay for the support of the war in Iraq as taxpayers. And especially this one in this region, and the government, it's a social democratic lead government, pays a lot for supporting this military bases of the United States in Ramstein and Spangdalen. And there's a lot of criticism from different groups outside the parliament and also inside the parliament. So... And on a communal, on a level of the towns, you also have a lot of debates. For example, in Leipzig, there is a use of this airport for a lot of military issues, for European Union, NATO, US, and for the German soldiers. And more it's also discussed in the town and in the municipality. And I'm happy that more and more these are issues. And because yesterday, for me, one speech was very impressive from the man who says, we started as an initiative against noise. And at the end, we decided we have to discuss why the noise is there. And it is clear because of military use. And so we are against this military use.
Exactly, because this, of course, the people living around the bases experience a lot of effects of these bases, such as noise pollution, but of course the big issue, which is important, more important to all of us, as well as for the person who is experiencing these noises, why this noise is there. And how many bases are in Germany right now?
Very good question. It's not so easy to have the concrete numbers, because we have two states from outside which have military bases inside Germany, that's United States and Great Britain. And before it was also Canada and France. Next time we will have a French military base in Germany, which is part of this new European Union battle groups. So they will create more and more this. But it's nearby 90 bases from the United States, 30 from Great Britain, and also it's important to know that the German Bundeswehr, the army, has something like 600 military bases. and a lot of them are used for supporting and participation of war, for example, in Afghanistan. And we have decided, as no basis movement in Quito, Ecuador, as we founded a no basis movement, that we say we are against foreign military bases and all military infrastructure which are used for wars. And I think this is a very good formulation, because this means that also you have to fight clear against all military structures which are used for wars, and that means, for example, the German Bundeswehr participates a lot in the wars in Afghanistan and other fields, so we have also to be against this. And it's something like, I would say, issue what a lot of the officials don't want officials to speak about, all the influence of these military bases.
Maybe I would change the topics. You are one, or your group is one of those who are not supporting the Lisbon Treaty, and perhaps you can tell us some reasons why you are not supporting the Lisbon Treaty, maybe the main reasons.
The Lisbon Treaty is, I would say, a copy 90% of the former constitutional treaty, and the main change which the Lisbon Treaty would bring, if it would be decided that all 27 member states would have ratified the Lisbon Treaty, is that there is absolutely change in the military policy. So my analysis is that the main point in this Lisbon Treaty is the military policy. For example, they create a possibility to use the budget of European Union first time for military missions and other military issues, for example, military satellite programs and so on. And before, in the Nisa Treaty, what we have now, does not allow to use the budget of European Union for military things. So all of the missions have been financed in another way, with a so-called Athena mechanism, in which the member states give money in one place, and then from this place the money is taken from the official who is responsible in the ground. And we don't get the numbers because it's not a EU budget. Very interesting. And my impression is that this is one point. Another point in the Lisbon Treaty is the so-called permanent structures cooperation, what means something like to create a core Europe with the big member states like Germany, France and Great Britain in the military field. And they want to decide that only these member states which participate in the military missions can decide about this. So the smaller member states will have the situation that they're always running after the big member states, what they are doing. And they create on a level of law with the Lisbon Treaty these battle groups, what we have since 2004. And they also create the situation that with these battle groups they can go from 5 to 30 days in all regions they want all over the world. And so there are a lot of reasons why we say in reality the Lisbon Treaty is a military treaty.
Yes, but if I can just interrupt for a second. We talked yesterday to the Slovenian member of parliament, Aurelio Juri, and we also mentioned him the Lisbon Treaty, what he thinks and the militarization and so on. And he said, yes, I am against the militarization, although this is possible also right now, but there are other forms who are necessary that Lisbon Treaty must go on, like the strong European institutions and so on. What do you think about that?
I think it's good when he's against the militarization. I have not heard that he's against, but I'm happy that he says this. And I would say he should read the Lisbon Treaty, especially Protocol 10. It's clearly written inside what is the sense of the Lisbon Treaty. And he should also visit the Subcommittee Security and Defense, in which the analysis is without discussion. The majority wants to have it. the minority with our group don't want to have it. So this is the debate. Mm. The analysis is clear that the Lisbon Treaty will bring a lot of military possibilities to European Union. There's also an analysis from the scientific service of the parliament who says this. So the analysis is clear. The question is, do you want it or do you don't want it? And when he says there are a lot of reasons to have the Lisbon Treaty, I don't see them, because what is necessary is to have a strong role of the European Parliament. In reality, with the Lisbon Treaty, there is no really chance. We don't have the right to have initiative reports, to start legislative reports from the Parliament. It's not allowed. It's not allowed now. It will be not allowed when we have the Lisbon Treaty, but I hope that we will not have. So there is no really chance, change. And so my impression is this Lisbon Treaty more and more gets a symbol for them who want to have it, as this is the important part of European Union. No, it's the dangerous part of European Union, because it creates a military union. And when he's against militarization, wonderful, he has to be against this Lisbon Treaty.
And now a lot of people are saying, probably those who want the Lisbon Treaty to go on, that status quo is going nowhere. What do you think? Do you think that we have to change this status quo, and do you have some proposals in our group?
We have to change
about the institutions of Europe, especially European Parliament and so on.
We have to change the status quo, because the Commission and the Council are too strong. And I want to have the power to the people and to the Parliament, and not to a Commission who has no right, nobody has elected them. So it's unbelievable that they have such a big power. The same is that the council, the construction of the council is wrong, that the governments have to say their all. And the funny thing is, they have to say it if they are in power or not. We have now no more presidency of the European Union. The Czech government have to withdraw. But in reality, Mr. Topolánek says it's no problem. I will be EU president, to make the EU presidency without or with the majority of my parliament. It's unbelievable. What is this? This is not democracy. So what we need is a democratization of European Union. That means total other institutions, and that means at the first steps more power to the parliament. For example, decision possibility in the field of foreign policy. The parliament is not allowed to take decisions in foreign policy and military policy. We have not the right to control what European Union. He himself, His Highness Xavier Solana, decides, and it's unbelievable. So I would say that we should very clear say democratization is necessary. That means other institutions, and first step to democratize and to give more power to the parliament. And my group very clear says the Lisbon Treaty is the total wrong way to bring the institutions of European Union on a democratic way, when we should have another change. And we fight for this, and I see that we get a lot of support from people outside. In the parliament we are a minority, so okay.
We understand that, because, I mean, the people in several countries have said their say, which is a negative one, and the European institutions keep on proposing the same thing, although we have said no, we want a different thing, and they change nothing, and they maybe you've changed your mind in this time.
Yes, we all knew after the first referendum that they will have the second one, the Ireland, you know. Yes.
A French friend in the campaign against the Lisbon Treaty in Ireland was asked, what do you think about when they will do it again? And he says, Do anybody in France ask to have a second vote about the president election and Sarkozy? We don't like him. We don't, so we can ask for a second vote because in the moment nobody would give him the vote, so because he is very strange. So, but nobody says this because this is the rule that then he has 5 years or something like this, the power. So, but in the case of this referendum, they do it. So. I think it's very clear that the democratic understanding of the majority here in the European Parliament and the Council and the different governments and the Commission is very strange because it's only their thinking of democracy because they want to have a special result. Not the way is democratic, the result is important for them. And the way is not democratic. It's you can't ask people 2-3 times the same question. They have decided, and the movement in Ireland says no means no. It's a simple formulation, but it's true. So no means really no.
Yes. What do you think that it will happen now? We will have the second referendum, and if there will be no again, what do you expect after that? The Lisbon Treaty will be history. But
yes, then they will bring it in the third version.
The third version, of course. Yeah.
And then we have to fight against the third version. We do it, no problem. We are able to do it. I think at the end they will be crazy, not me, not we. So no problem, they can try it.